You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Extending Practical Medicine by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ita Wegmann, translated by Anna Mois. This is Chapter 2. Why do people fall ill? Anyone taking the modern scientific approach gets caught up in contradiction when reflecting on the fact that people may be ill, and initially has to assume this contradiction to be due to the nature of existence as such. At first sight, a disease is a natural process. Yet the process that takes its place in health is equally natural. Natural processes are known primarily from observation of the world outside the human being, and from observation of the human being only insofar as this is done in exactly the same way as observation of nature outside. The human being is seen as a part of nature, which is such that the processes that can also be observed outside are highly complex in this part of nature, yet are nevertheless of the same kind as those in outside nature. But this is where a question arises that cannot be answered from this point of view. How do natural processes develop in the human being, leaving animals aside for the moment, that are the opposite of healthy processes? The healthy human organism seems comprehensible as part of the natural world. The diseased organism does not seem to be such. It must therefore be comprehensible on its own terms, through something it does not have from the natural world. The idea seems to be that the spiritual, non-physical aspect of the human being has a complex natural process as its physical basis, which is like a continuation of the natural principles that pertain outside the human being. But simply consider, will continuation of a natural process based on a healthy human organism ever bring the mind and spirit alive? The opposite is the case. The life of mind and spirit is extinguished if the natural process continues in a straight line. This happens in sleep. It happens in a faint. Consider, on the other hand, how the conscious life of mind and spirit becomes more acute when an organ is diseased. Pain develops, or at least a reluctance to do things, or discomfort. The life of feeling gains a content it does not otherwise have, and the life of the will is impaired. The movement of a limb, which happens as a matter of course in health, cannot be performed because pain or reluctance inhibit it. Observe the transition from painful movement of a limb to its paralysis. Pain on movement marks the first step toward paralysis. The active spiritual principle intervenes in the organism. In health, it initially reveals itself in the life of ideas, of thought. We activate an idea, and the movement of a limb follows. We do not enter consciously with our idea into the organic processes that ultimately lead to movement of the limb. The idea goes down to the unconscious level. In health, a feeling process develops between idea and movement that is active only at soul level. It does not distinctly connect with anything physical and organic. In ill health, this does happen, however. Feeling, which in health is experienced as separate from the physical organism, connects with it in the experience of illness. The processes of healthy feeling and disease-related experience are thus seen to be related. There has to be something which, in a healthy organism, is not connected as intensely with that organism as in a sick organism. This reveals itself to spiritual perception as the astral body. It is an organization beyond sensory perception that lies within the sense-perceptible organization. It either intervenes loosely in an organ, which leads to inner soul experience that exists on its own and is not felt to be connected with the body, or it intervenes intensely in an organ. This leads to the experience of illness. We have to develop the idea of one form of illness where the astral body takes hold of the organism, which makes the spiritual human being enter more deeply into his body than is the case in health. However, thinking also has its physical basis in the organism. It is only that in health, it is even more detached from the organism than feeling is. Spiritual perception finds that in addition to the astral body, there is a separate I organization which lives as an independent soul quality in our thinking. If the human being enters intensely into the bodily aspect with this I organization, a condition arises in which observation of one's own organism is similar to that of the outside world. If we observe an object or event in the outside world, the fact is that the thought in the human mind and the object or event observed are not in live interaction, but independent of each other. This only happens with a human limb if it becomes paralyzed. It then becomes outside world. The eye organization is no longer loosely connected with the limb the way it is in health, when it can connect with the limb in a movement and immediately let go again. It enters permanently into the limb and can no longer withdraw. Again, we have the healthy movement processes of a limb in juxtaposition with paralysis, and see how they relate. Indeed, we can see quite clearly that a healthy movement is the beginning of a paralysis that is cancelled as soon as it begins. We have to consider the nature of illness to lie in an intense connection of the astral body or eye organization with the physical organism. But this connection is merely an enhancement of the looser connection that exists in a state of health. Thus, even the normal interventions of astral body and eye organization in the human body relate not to healthy vital processes, but to pathological ones. When spirit and soul take effect, they cancel out the normal way the body is constituted. They change it into its opposite. With this, however, they put the organism on a road where illness wants to begin. In ordinary life, this is regulated as soon as it arises by a self-healing process. A certain form of illness develops if the spiritual or soul aspect advances too far toward the organism, so that self-healing will either not come about at all, or only do so slowly. The causes of illness must thus be sought in the capacity for spirit and soul, and healing must consist in releasing the soul or spirit element from the physical organization. This is one form of illness. There is also another. The eye organization and the astral body may be prevented from establishing the loose connections with the bodily aspect that in ordinary existence are the basis of independent feeling, thinking, and will. Healthy processes then go beyond the level that is appropriate for the organism in the organs, or processes that cannot be reached by spirit and soul. And in this case, spiritual perception shows that the physical organism will then do more than merely perform the lifeless processes of outside nature. The physical organism is penetrated by an etheric organism. On its own, the physical organism could never evoke a self-healing process. This is fanned into life in the etheric organism. With this, we realize that health is a condition that has its origin in the etheric organism. Healing must thus consist in treating the etheric organism. Footnote: a comparison of what has been said in the first chapter with the contents of the second chapter will specifically help the reader understand the point at issue. The end of chapter 2.